You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company once again. Recording this Tuesday morning, Dave Tindall in the house as well. Dave Tindall, good morning to you, sir.
Hello in your house.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. Are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to the Open Championship next week, and we've got a couple of decent events on the agenda this week as well. The Scottish Open, obviously the highlight, and we've got the John Deere Classic too.
Yes, two as well, also.
We spoke about the John Deere Classic off-air, and we've not got an official selection for the event, tending to focus on the Scottish Open instead. So that's fair?
It is, but just a quick one on that. Two of the last four Open winners played the John Deere the week before.
Yeah.
Molinari last year, Zach Johnson 2015. So it's not the kind of terrible, awful, silly warm-up that you might think. I think it just... It's a birdie fest. It just builds confidence, doesn't it, I think, rather than
copying the shots. I've not looked, Dave, but there must be a very low percentage of those players playing in the John Deere that are qualified for the Open Championship.
Well, it's more the fact that why aren't some of the bigger names taking part? I don't quite know. It's not like they're all turning up in Scotland, is it?
It was always the case that the John Deere Classic was popular because, not popular, but it gathered a decent list of players because they put on that charter flight on Sunday night.
Well, they still are, aren't they?
Yeah, they still put it on, but no one's turning up anymore. We've not got a player in the top 50 in the world in the John Deere Classic this year.
Is that right? Is that how it...
Which is astonishing.
Very strange.
Yeah. We'll come to that in due course. Let's talk about last week, first of all, because golf at the moment is providing fantastic finishes on Sundays. Last 2 weeks, we spoke about the week before, those two amazing stories, and last week, sensational final round of 62 by John Rahm to win the Irish Open, which obviously sets him up well for Portrush next week now. It was just a phenomenal performance over the weekend, and John Rahm is destined to win tournaments when I don't back him. That's the way it's going to be with John Rahm forevermore, I think.
Yeah, because this computer hasn't been used since we were here last week, I've got the odds up from last week still on the page. He was 8-1. That was.
Yep.
Did we say don't want to win? Did I?
I don't think he was the player you don't want to win last week, but I thought 8-1 was a fair reflection of his chance. But
yeah,
as Nosferatu, who's a stats man on Twitter, do you follow?
Loves the world rankings.
Loves the world rankings. And he tweeted out that John Rahm has played only 11 regular European Tour events in his career so far. He's won four of them, including three Rolex Series events, and finished top five in eight of them.
So 8-1 is a gift.
Well, on those stats, the form figures, 1-1-1-1-2, tied 4, tied 5th, tied 10th, tied 15th, and a missed cut in regular European
Amazing,
Tour events.
Isn't it,
is it an absolutely astonishing record John Rahm has?
I mean, he is like your classic, like a sort of runaway sort of big animal knocking everyone aside in its wake.
I think when he gets
and people can sort of hear the sort of thunder of his hoofs and panic, like Cabrera Bayo going, oh no, here comes Rahm, and everyone just sort of folds.
When it's flat, calm conditions on a links course that
it's
you can rip apart, he just is relentless in his pursuit of a title, and he was fantastic again last week.
What did he? I always have this thing about people don't win from near the cut line, and I think he made it by a shot or two shots.
Shot 64, 62 on the weekend.
Yeah,
not sure where he was positioned after 36.
Yeah,
I must
not
admit.
Great. So he did come from, but only the very, very special can do that. Remember McIlroy doing it at Quail Hollow, but Rahm, astonishing. I mean, you've said in regular events, do you now think he's a good bet for the Open then?
Well, I have.
You will be furious if he wins a major and you're not on him.
Yeah, I've had this internal debate since Sunday evening, really. And it's tough now because I'm not on for the Open Championship yet, and now he's down to a price that's a little bit prohibitive. 14 right. to 1 he is for the Open Championship. He's not won a major championship yet. And there's nothing really standing in his way. I'd like to look at the weather forecast because I think that's going to be significant. The long-range weather forecast suggests we're in for a pretty dreary, wet Open Championship.
Right.
And rain forecast all 4 days. If there's a little bit of wind in there as well, I'm not sure that will suit Rahm ideally. I think he is better when the sun is on his back and he can really rip into these links courses, as he's done in both Irish Opens, really.
Yeah.
And it's significant that when the wind completely dropped on Saturday and Sunday,
that's when
and the
charged.
Sun was shining, that's when he charged. I think that is of significance.
Yeah, fair point, yeah.
And on the PGA Tour last week...
Well, my word.
What about that finish to the 3M Open? The young guns, Matthew Wolff and Colin Morikawa, stepped up on the last. And to make an eagle on the 72nd hole on your full start in a PGA Tour event, after you'd seen in front of you Bryson DeChambeau pile the pressure on making eagle on the last, it's just beyond belief, really.
Yeah, and obviously it made me think back to Rahm, who did the same, won his first event with an eagle. So Wolff, he was slightly getting overshadowed, wasn't he, by Victor Hovland in the kind of brilliant new rookie young gun who's just turned pro. But
that was because of those three events, wasn't it? Because his three events hadn't yielded any spectacular finishes.
But I saw an interview with him. He basically said he felt like he had to be a bit... It felt like he was sort of acting a bit where... In his amateur days, he just let it go and let it rip. And I think he got the course last week where he could, you know, forget all the kind of, right, I need to be doing this strategy. Just absolutely aim and fire.
Yeah.
And it paid off spectacularly, didn't he? I mean, that was an amazing performance. And it was fairly amazing from Colin Morikawa as well.
Yeah.
They both got an extra...
an extra letter.
In the letter in their name. Two L's in Colin and two L's in Wolff.
Yeah.
That means nothing to anybody.
Two F's in Wolff.
What did I say?
Two L's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Colin's got two L's.
Yeah.
Wolff's got two F's.
So I misspelt them constantly last week when I was writing stuff.
that Wolff pack chant.
Yes, it's a good one, isn't it?
Was good as well.
Yeah, and good to be an animal in golf after Tiger, isn't it? Now we've got the Wolff.
Another tweet that I've got mentioned here as well from Justin Rare, this one, who is head of statistics at 15th Club.
Yeah.
Matthew Wolff is the seventh player in the last 80 years to win on the PGA Tour before the age of 21. Each of the previous six went on to win at least three major championships. Woods, Ballesteros, Mickelson, Floyd, McIlroy, Spieth.
Yeah.
So he's in elite company there.
What players they were to be. I mean, there was another one,
and
wasn't
what a
there?
Unique swing he's got as well.
Well, it's terrible, isn't it? It's
not aesthetically pleasing, is it?
It's all. It's
he does
of,
that kind of shimmy, doesn't he?
Sort of
in the setup,
to the side, and then it's just a mess. But it shows, doesn't it? It doesn't matter what. He can be the sweetest swinger in the world. He's got all the other attributes as well. But
it's not how, it's how many.
Exactly. But he, you know, he could be anything. What was it? His fourth start. There was a list shown where I think only four players had won quicker. One of them was Seve. Mm. Although another one was Russell Henley. So I'm not sure he's going
to
win.
I think it's likely to be more Seve than Russell Henley.
Yes.
But as you mentioned, and a few weeks ago, we were talking about Cameron Champ, weren't we? And how he came onto the tour with a huge reputation, won on one of his first starts as a professional, and then his form has petered out slightly. He's made a slight renaissance recently. I think Wolff is maybe even more highly regarded.
The better all-round player.
Possibly, yeah. And Morikawa looks like a special talent, doesn't he, as well?
I mean, in some ways, Morikawa was the star of the show, really.
Yeah.
I thought he played even better. Wolff sort of had that spectacular putt at the end, but I thought Morikawa, from dropping a couple of shots early, he was phenomenal.
Mm. I can't wait to see how those their careers
and
develop.
And then Hovland as well. It's like... Yeah. It's a new wave, isn't it? But the problem for betting, and we'll come on to it, is they're now absolutely being clobbered, haven't they, in the market?
Well found for this week, because that's the lack of... We've got a lack of any real significant talent in the field, haven't we, this week? We'll come on to that John Deere Classic very soon. Let's talk about the Aberdeen Standard Investments Scottish Open. And Rory McIlroy in action this week is 6-1. Ricky Fowler 14-1. Justin Thomas is 16s, along with Matt Kuchar. Henrik Stenson is 20-1. Matt Wallace 28s with Rafa Cabrera Bello, Matthew Fitzpatrick and Eddie Pepperell. 33-1 Bernd Wiesberger and Till Hatton and Martin Kaymer. And it's bigger than the rest. And we've got another Lynx test for the players this week. And it's the first trip to the Renaissance Club, which is between Muirfield and North Berwick for this year's Scottish Open. But whereas we've got centuries of history with some Lynx courses, particularly those on the open rotor, the Renaissance Club is a new course. It's a Tom Doak design, only opened in 2008, and it's a par 71 which measures 7,136 yards on the scorecard. And uniquely, we've got five par threes on the layout as well, with the four par fives.
Yeah, so an extra par five three, which makes it 71.
Yeah, and we got kind of mixed messages as to what to expect, I think, a little bit here this week as well.
What are your mixed messages?
Well, because I've seen a few people saying, or a few players have said, it's reminiscent of Castle Stewart, which is obviously wide open. Off the tee.
And the modern links.
Modern links, which would tie in with this one. But a few players have said that the rough is up and the fairways are quite tight and narrow, which isn't anything like Castle Stewart.
Yeah, perhaps bits of both. Yeah, I've seen that the rough is up.
Yeah.
By a couple of players. I think Grant Forrest is the one that's played it a few times. Richie Ramsey is a member there. I've seen it because it's literally over a wall. There's a stone wall that separates Muirfield and the Renaissance Club.
Okay.
Or one of the holes on it.
Yep.
So it does feel a bit fabricated compared to Muirfield and North Berwick, which is just ridiculously amazing courses where you just, if you're an American, you'd book your holiday and you like golf, you would just go there and wallow in it forever. So it's a bit of a new one. I don't know whether that'll translate into perhaps a player who's not good on classic links, who might find the modernness just helps them a little bit. But it's going to be an interesting. We did have the seniors played there, didn't we, in 2017?
Yeah.
And you got Paul Broadhurst winning, who is very good on links and had done well at Muirfield. So maybe, you know, you keep it simple and think, if you're good at links, you're going to do well.
Yeah, I think Richie Ramsey also said, as per your Rotor World piece, that it was a second shot golf course as well, which I can see. I think strong iron play will be needed this week. And obviously we've got to look at the weather as well. And the wind isn't forecast to get up too much. Obviously this, as we always mention, is changes quickly.
Yeah. The gust sort of levels could pick up 15 miles an hour maybe.
Thursday and Friday, pretty damp as well.
Yes.
I think Thursday is meant to be quite heavy, the rain. So yeah, that's something to maybe factor in if you're looking at when the tee times are announced anyway, and there could be a definite split.
Yeah, possibly. But we've got a load of picks, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. We've got loads of picks in this event and none in the other.
Which is so weird, isn't it? Because we're on a new course this week and there's so much form at the John Deere, but the John Deere field is just strange.
It's very difficult to work out the John Deere. I've got three picks.
Yeah, me too.
And we've got a Your Odds as well this week.
Yes.
Which is on the website right now. I've just had a look at that.
Yes, on a player who I picked last week.
Yeah.
Can we mention that?
We did. I didn't mention it. Sorry. Yeah, you got a full place from Andy Sullivan last week, who was 66-1 with William Hill. That was a good selection. And he had a chance to win.
Sort of, yeah.
Until Rahm didn't exist.
Yeah.
He did well. Stampeded through the field.
Sullivan, yeah, tied second.
Yeah.
Thought it was a big prize, 66s. But yeah, I think he'll go well again this week.
Yeah, so that's the hashtag Your Odds. We'll come to that
at
the end of the preview. Do you want to go first here?
I'll go first. I'll go in betting order. I'm not necessarily sure I fancy them to do well order, but the rough, if that rough is up, which we think it is, because I think there's been enough players say it's a factor. I found a player who's ranked first in driving accuracy in his last two starts.
Henrik Stenson?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good show. You've been pouring over the stats as well.
Yeah, I have, yeah. I think he's got a very good chance this week. Yes, he was close
to me.
He's not one of my picks, but 20-1, reasonable, I thought.
So he's had a funny year. not really been at it, but whilst not being at it, he's kind of picked up a few decent results, like tied 17th Bay Hill, 28th Wells Fargo, 20th Byron Nelson. So they're sort of hinting that there might be something there. Then he stepped up the last 2 weeks, or last two tournaments, tied 8th at the Canadian Open, where he ranked first in driving accuracy, and tied 9th at the US Open, again first, hit 83.9% of the fairways at Pebble. Greens in reg have been good as well in that period. So 8th and 9th, the form's there. Now you put him on a links, where he is an Open champion, of course, and has had lots of good Open finishes before that. And Henrik Stenson, I think at 20-1, that's not quite reflecting the form he's coming into. I mean, I know he's a fine player, but how can Stenson be bigger than Justin Thomas, who's not doing anything at the minute and has got an abysmal record on the links?
Yeah, I fancy Justin Thomas, though. I must admit. Yeah, I do. And
based on what?
Based on the way he struck the ball in at River Highlands, more than anything.
Can't putt.
Yeah, I know. It's yeah. If you're going to take that sort of reaction review on a few events, you'll go bust in the long run. I think he is a good putter, Justin Thomas, and maybe the wrist injury has definitely affected him, but I'll be intrigued to see how he plays this week. If it's not a standard links and the wind lies, I think he'll go well, Justin Thomas, I must admit. If it's a second shot golf course, there's no better iron player in the field this week.
Of all the top players, he's the one who's just got an appalling Open record. So why is that, do you think?
You know what? I don't know. I'm sure he'll be looking to rectify that poor Open record. I think maybe when the wind gets up, it's difficult for him. But he's a shot maker, Justin Thomas, so it's really surprising that he's got such
Is it three miscuts and a 53rd or something like that? I don't know. I really like the bloke, and he likes his grandfather, and he's brilliant, and he's good for golf. But I just don't.
You're not buying it.
Not in this field in this week.
Yeah,
I guess it'll turn at some point, but.
I mean, the way he played at River Highlands, I know the putting was obviously off at River Highlands, but he was second in strokes gained off the tee and fifth in strokes gained approach. If he brings that sort of game to any golf course in the world and he puts okay, he'll contend, as far as I'm concerned, Justin Thomas. And he's been there since Monday, hasn't he? Played a practice round with Kevin Kisner on Monday. He'll have had...
Maybe getting some tips, because Kisner was a runner-up in the Open, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think Kisner might go well this week. He's
45s.
Yeah, and Thomas is coming into this fresh, and given he's been there for Monday and playing practice rounds with Kisner for Monday, I think he'll have had a look at the golf course more than many other players in the field this week. So, yeah, I think he'll go well. I'm not picking him at 16-1, but I think Thomas will go well.
Right.
Yeah. I can see Stenson, though, obviously.
Yeah, I'm sort of leaning on all the historical links form that he's put together as a body of work down the years, and just he's got better current form than Thomas as well.
Yeah, his Open Championship win came in Scotland
at Troon,
as well.
Yeah. So special he's memories
played,
of...
Played well at Muirfield in the past?
Yes, I think he was third, wasn't he, in the Mickelson one?
Yes, I think so. But you're testing me now. I think he has finished third at Muirfield, I think.
Yeah, there's shed loads of good Stenson form. Yeah, and I think the last 2 weeks, a pair of top tens, his last two starts with those driving accuracy figures makes him, to me, I don't know, normally Stenson, if you told me maybe last year Stenson will come into this on the back of two top tens, you're thinking he's going to be about 12s in his 20s.
Mm. Yeah. Henrik Stenson 20-1. I'm sticking with Thomas Dietrich as my pick at 66-1.
I sort of nodded along a bit, kind of. Oh, that's nice when you argue. I'm going to be ruthless if you unless you give me a watertight argument this week.
Well, I just think there seems to be no reason to desert him after last week's performance. He finished tied 23rd and was fourth. Well,
isn't that a reason to desert him?
He was fourth for greens in regulation last week, and he's second the week before that, where he finished with a 66 last week in the event in La Hinche. And Dietrich, if his iron plays on song as it has been in his last two events, I'm hoping Richie Ramsey's right when he describes this as a second shot golf course, because he's hitting his iron so purely at the moment. He just needs a good week with a putter, Thomas Dietrich. And if he gets one, I think 66-1 is fair. Obviously, he's not as likely to win as Henrik Stenson is. Stenson's 20-1, but yeah. I think...
Is there any links form you can give him?
Yeah, he was was bang there at Hillside in the British Masters before dropping away. Finished tied 13th, I think, at the British Masters.
15th, yeah.
15th at the British Masters, and he was there. He had a chance to win on Sunday. Didn't play well on Sunday. I think he was playing alongside Bobby McIntyre, I think. And obviously McIntyre finished second with a good round on Sunday. He didn't have a good round on Sunday. But yeah, links form's there. I mean, 23rd last week isn't bad, and 15th at the British Masters. So last two links performances have yielded top 25 finishes. So yeah, I think Thomas Dietrich, I'm sticking with him here at 66-1, despite your reservations, obviously.
What do I know? My second pick, I wonder if we're going to tally on any of these, but my second pick is Jorge Campillo.
Not on this one, though.
No, not for you.
50-1.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is fifth on the race to Dubai.
Yeah.
Having a fantastic season. Loads of, not just top tens, or not just top five, top threes. He's had about five. I think you could add another one if you count the golf sixes, which you shouldn't really, but I will. And he... he's basically been playing fantastic golf since March, runner-up in the Oman Open, runner-up in the Qatar Masters, which the Qatar Masters is full of winners who've done well in Opens on links courses. Third, the Indian Open, won the Trophy Hassan in Morocco, third in China. Then he just had his little bit of a kind of breathe-out moment when he was missed a cut in the PGA and in the Made in Denmark. But the last 2 weeks, 15th, at Valderrama on home soil, and then seventh in the Irish Open last week, which, you know, backs up his links credentials. The Castle Stewart link is a... there might be something in it. If there is, he was eighth there in 2016 in this Scottish Open. So I think he...
It looks completely different to... I've had a look. It looks completely different to Castle Stewart, doesn't it? But it's interesting that, like, as you mentioned, Grant Forrest said...
Yeah, maybe. Was it the
definite
sort of
similar...
big undulating greens?
Yeah, I think... yeah.
Maybe. And just the sort of modernness of it.
Yeah.
There must be stuff there...
That's not like a... not
just
like a,
maybe it doesn't bounce
historical
quite the same.
Links, yeah.
There must be something in it, because it was carved out of a pine forest. That it's been a bit manufactured and...
Yeah.
You know, it is a similar bit of land in a way, but it's there's something about it that may, as I hinted at earlier, may just help those who are not always open contenders. I mean, maybe Campillo is in that bracket. That
I think we might see a... it's difficult to, because a lot of the top players in this field do have bona fide links form.
Apart
and
from
a,
Thomas.
And from Thomas.
Well,
and,
that could be. Yeah.
And a very good links players.
Yeah.
We might just see a leaderboard where it looks like, oh, here are a load of links players again, but it's actually just the cream rising to the top.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that it's going to play less like a links.
A true links.
Yeah. That's my gut feeling anyway.
Which may possibly help.
When Justin Thomas wins by four or five.
Yeah. In your dreams, mate. But Jorge Campillo, I'd put all that together, the fantastic form, bank of solid form over the last few months, the very recent form, the seventh in Ireland last week, where he was third for greens in regulation, which, back to your Richie Ramsey point, that's very nice, at 80%. Altogether, I think he should be near 35s, 40s and his 50s. So I'm happy to play that price.
Okay, that's Jorge Campillo, 50-1. I've got to go with the Scotsman, and it's Bobby McIntyre.
Well, there we go. We have coincided.
Matched on one. 80-1, McIntyre. I spoke about him last week. We were 50s last week, so we completely ducked him in the market. And he played okay. I think he ranked fifth for greens in regulation last week. But once his chance had gone, I'm sure attention already turned mentally to this week, because... every article I've read with McIntyre has talked about this week and how special it is for him to be representing Scotland in his national open. And I do expect him to produce a big performance. I'm not sure whether he's played the Renaissance Golf Club before. Couldn't find that out. Did you see anything?
No, the best I got was he won the Scottish Amateur at Muirfield, which is obviously
I've got that
next
as well.
Door.
Yeah.
But
it might not have any bearing on this week, but it could give you that extra little... percentage boost, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy. There was a sort of row on Twitter the other day about such things are nonsense, but I like them.
Yeah.
If you don't, fair enough.
His form has maybe cooled ever so slightly, hasn't it, recently? But It wasn't long ago he was second on a links at Hillside and then second at Denmark. And as mentioned, played well at Lahinch. I think the putter's just got to warm up for Bobby McIntyre. If it does, 80s is going to look good.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he had that run, British Masters, Denmark, even a Belgian knockout, where his putting average rank was first, fifth, first.
Yeah.
So it was. You got to think, at home in Scotland, he'll know these greens. I'm thinking he has played at some point.
You'd hope so. I know he's played a hell of a lot of links golf in his formative years. Basically, that's all he played, links golf. Yeah. So he's going to be attuned to the conditions at the very least.
I think as well, there was an interview with him. I think Tim Barter might have spoke to him live on the course. And he said he just had to. He said he's naturally a sort of shy bloke who doesn't really say a lot. And he's had to sort of come to terms with social media a bit. So maybe after those two back-to-back second places put him in the spotlight, there was just a little bit of readjustment. There's like, oh, people want to interview me and stuff. But maybe it looked as though that he'd taken that on board a little bit. So maybe he's just going to, you know, back to just the golf again. He can refocus slightly.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy. I know
he
that
does.
He won a £20,000 watch or something, or £20,000 piece of jewelry.
One of those things that you put a pound in.
Yeah, that's it.
I've tried for ages to get those.
Turn the knob and diamonds flooded out. And instead of taking this item of jewelry, I don't know what it was, he used it as store credit and bought all his family and friends watches from the store. And the first thing he did when he cashed his big check at Hillside was buy his mum a new kitchen. Sort of thing, which is nice. So I'm hoping he goes well, Bobby McIntyre. And I think this is a... It would be obviously an emotional win, and he's playing well enough to contend, I think, at 80-1.
I thought you were going to say gave it all to charity rather than buying his family watches.
Ah, no. Not that nice. Not that nice, Dev.
Yes. No, I'm sure he is a thoroughly nice chap, and he'll be even nicer if he wins for us at 80-1.
Definitely, 80-1. And my last pick, I've just gone for a small each way on Lucas Herbert. Not Benjamin Hebert. Lucas
the classic
Herbert.
Mistake, yes.
Yeah, they're both 150-1, and I just glanced at the screen momentarily and lost my pitch for a second. Lucas Herbert, the Aussie at 150s, clearly enjoys coastal golf, and even though his season hasn't taken off yet, there was a lot to like about his first season on tour, where he finished tied second in Portugal, tied seventh at the Dunhill Links, so got a bit of links form there. Obviously, that performance stands out in the context of this event. And Herbert can certainly handle any wind, being an Aussie. And one of his better performances this season came at the British Masters, where he finished tied for 35th. And an interesting move on Sunday at Lahinch, even though he was out of contention. So I don't mark it up, but he shot a 65 to move up the board on Sunday in the Irish Open. And I thought he was worth a dart at a big price, Lucas Herbert at 150-1.
Yeah, he seemed the real deal last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's stalled a bit. But
yeah, he has definitely stalled. I mean, you couldn't back him at that price on this year's form. You've got to take a few things on trust, I suppose, and read between the lines.
But, you know, young player, they do dip and rise, and so maybe he's made his last two cuts. As you say, that 65 might just spark something.
Okay, hashtag your odds then.
Andy Sullivan.
For a top 10.
He obviously played really nicely last week when joint runner-up Andy Sullivan. He's just coming back to kind of solid form. He was 13th at Valderrama before that, so he just missed out on the top 10. Had a little run earlier as well, and 11th in Qatar, 7th at the Maybank. Again, he's hovering around that top 10, which is why I've probably not gone for him each way. I think maybe it's something slightly just not right, but again, back to this idea of top 10. He was 10th, exactly 10th, in the Alfred Dunhill Championship in October. 9th in the 2017 Scottish Open at Dundonald Links. And then 6th as well in the 2016 Scottish Open. So, likes playing in Scotland on the links. Good links form last week. I thought fair enough for 7-2, top 10.
Yeah, and I'm going with Nicholas Coulthard to finish in the top 20.
Second leg of this.
Yeah, I just thought it was... obviously, he's got some decent form in Scotland. Colsarts and has had good results in this championship and the Dunhill Links in the past. And his performance at Valderrama.
Yeah, that was a sort of, yeah. Where did that come from?
It's a tight course and he tends to spray it all over the place, doesn't he? So that was an interesting finish. And maybe he's a decent price now on the back of a miscut last week, but at least he's played a bit of links. So 20, Nicholas Colsarts for a top 20.
What price?
33-1 it is, the double.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so Andy Sullivan for a top 10, including ties, and Colsarts for a top 20, including ties, 33-1, which is okay, I thought.
I saw a hashtag your odds already there about Rory McIlroy winning this week and next week at 50s.
That's interesting, isn't it?
It is interesting, yeah.
What do you think to McIlroy this week?
6-1 he is, isn't he? Well, he won the Canadian Open, didn't he, the week before the US Open?
Yeah.
So,
I don't think he'd be bothered about
the kind of lazy assumption that he's purely going to be looking at next week. Well, yeah. You know, not necessarily. Mm. He didn't play in Ireland because he didn't want to play three in a row, which I can see.
Yeah, which is fair enough.
So we'll have a little edge on the freshness front this week. The weather. Think that's sort of a bit grotty, might be slightly against him.
Yeah, I think as long as possibly.
Only slightly. I mean, it's a bit of a myth that he can't play at all in bad weather. There was was it the Mickelson-Stenson one at Troon where it was awful weather and he was fifth, when you would have thought he would have just lost interest a bit. We've seen him win back to back before, so I'd love to be holding 50-1 going into next week. So it's worth thinking about that one, I think. Mm.
Okay, shall we move on to the other event? Because we've done a lot on the Scottish Open, so let's move on to the John Deere Classic, where Victor Hovland is the 18-1 favourite.
Colin Morikawa, would have thought he would have
it's unbelievable,
that.
Isn't it? Colin Morikawa, 20-1, Matthew Wolff, 22s, Joaquin Neiman, 22s, Sung Jaim, 22s, 25-1 and bigger the rest. So we've got five of the hottest young properties in the game at the top of the betting on a golf course where... historically, you've needed to know it a little bit to produce your best. I don't think we've had a first-time winner since Sean O'Hare won, and that was, I think, 14 years ago now. But it's by no means an elite field. As mentioned, none of the top 50 in the world in attendance this week. But it's intriguing because of the makeup of the betting, I suppose, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, it's like something weird has flipped, and these young... It's like you said, some weird... future that's happening right before our eyes, because normally this event, it used to be priced up kind of Zach Johnson, Steve Stricker, sort of 12s and 14s, and now we've got these kind of young guns that have come through. I suppose the angle you could take is that because they've been shortened so much, some of the older players might therefore be a little bit big, because in the space of a week or two, they've become like vastly unfashionable because everyone's now looking at the young guns. But has the young guns thing been overplayed? Because I'm sure we've had this down the years where, they're going to take over, and then it doesn't, things settle down and you can't just rule out anyone over 30 anymore. Mm. So it's whether you think some of the more established players, someone like Jason Duffner, say at 66, is gone too far the other way, but I couldn't quite settle on anybody.
No, I've not got a bet in the event. TPC Dearon is a course that everyone knows everything about, really. Measures 7,300 yards or thereabouts, and it's a DA Weibring design, and it's a par 71 that's a pushover for these players. Fairways easy to find, greens receptive, which adds up to low numbers, obviously, and the greens are by no means quick, and we can expect similar scoring to last week. In fact, the makeup of the last week is similar to this one, with bent grass, fairways and greens, but last week gave you, so much space off the tee that the Bombers could really thrive last week, and that's not quite the same this week.
No.
At TPC Deer Run, I've got a few players I want to mention, but no official selection.
If I was picking one of those front five, I think I'd pick Joaquin Neiman.
Yeah, I would as well.
22.
To be fair, we opened 33-1.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, which was massive.
Yeah, that, I would because have had
we,
that.
Yeah, we go up first on the PGA Tour every week now, and there are some standout prices if you're sniffing around early, and that was one of them. Joaquin Neiman at 33-1. The Thursday last week killed him, but he continues to roll, doesn't he, Neiman? And
I mean, middle two rounds of 63-65 last week, that finished 23rd on the back of a pair of top fives.
I thought he'd be favourite actually this week.
Yeah, because he's played the course last year and finished tied 23rd. Yeah. Shot 69-69, 68-65. Just gives him a leg up on the rest, and looking for his first win, might just think, oh, Wolf's got one right, I'm going to go in now. But yeah, it's the closest I came to a bet.
Sam Burns is another one that I like. First look at the course, which is slightly off-putting, but he struck the ball very well from tee to green last week and looks a good fit for here. Any time there are low numbers about, you've got to have Burns on your radar, I think. And this course doesn't punish waywardness as much as maybe last week's did with all the water in play last week. He can rack up a few big numbers, Burns, but I thought he was interesting at 40s. Daniel Berger, 28-1, back to form last time. This venue really suits his style of play. Was fifth on his debut 2 years ago. And at a bigger price, I liked Andreas Romero. Three decent weeks on this side of the pond, and he was seventh in the event last year.
Yeah, he's a funny one. He can suddenly pop, can't he?
Yeah. So I thought
throwing a good one. I thought you might look at Doc Redman at hundreds.
Yeah, I thought that was fair as well. Andreas Romero's 125. Doc Redman, similar price to last week at 100-1.
What's your opinion on Zach Johnson? 33s this year. I think it's two. I think he's just not...
He's just not doing it, is he? What do you think? What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, so from 2011, he went third, first, second, second, third, 34th, fifth, 16th. If you're taking a kind view of his recent form, 35th in Canada wasn't too bad. And then 58th in the US Open was just one bad round.
Yeah.
A 79 on Saturday.
He'll tempt a few, won't he, I think, Zach Johnson?
I think he's enough. At 33s, there's enough there. Mm. Because, where would he be? Say those young guns had just started. Say it was like last week and Matthew Wolf had form of Misca 80.
Yeah,
whatever,
yeah, yeah.
And they weren't quite there. I mean, he'd be down. He'd have to be almost default close to being favourite, wouldn't he? Because who's left then?
Yeah, maybe. I suppose you've got the likes of Glover and Harman. Yeah. I thought all of those guys at the top, obviously we talked about Neiman being the one we like most out there. This course should, in theory, suit Morikawa better than last week's, because he's more of a, you know, real premium ball striker.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
just fascinated to know we got those five guys that stand alone at the top of the betting, and then 25-1 bar those five. If you had to buy shares in one of them now,
yeah,
which one would it be? And it's such a tough question.
It is. I mean, it's very easy to say Wolf because he's just got the win. I don't know whether the swing just still niggles at me. Hovland is kind of the golden boy in some ways, but there's a piece of me who thinks Morikawa was just going to be sensational.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a great debate, isn't it? Where would you be in a few years?
I might put that out on Twitter.
Yeah.
I think it is just such a fascinating debate, because all of them have got different backgrounds and different accolades at the collegiate level. Like Wolf is the one out of those five, isn't he, possibly, ahead of Hovland and Morikawa. But then a lot of, whenever there's a Twitter Q&A with some player that's ranked 150th in the world or whatever, and they say, who's the player that we should really keep an eye on? A lot of them have said Sung Jae-im as well. So I just think it's a fascinating, well, not so much this in terms of this event, but looking towards the future.
Yeah, Sung Jae-im is an interesting one because he's sort of not getting second and thirds and is right there on a Sunday. There's a slight element that, although it's not really reflected in his price, that he's not quite the superstar. But I mean, look at 7th, 21st, 21st, 15th. He's the one with the classy consistency, isn't he, Sung Jae-im?
Yeah.
It just maybe it's just one big week away from getting even more attention.
Let's
yeah, it's a great question, that.
Yeah. I don't know how I'd answer it either. I just haven't really got, I think Matthew Wolf is the one that people are saying is going to change golf, basically. I'm not sure I'm buying that.
Some claim, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway,
it's a fascinating one. Yeah. I'm thinking I've turned off contributing to this
off.
Podcast
yeah,
because
yeah.
It's made me think so much though.
Yeah. You can follow us both on Twitter and leave your thoughts on Twitter about that question I just posed there, at Dave Tindall Golf and at D Kellner. Let's wrap it up then with the selections for this week, Dave Tindall.
Yeah, so I'll go a point and a half each way on Henrik Stenson at 20-1. This is in Scotland. I'll go a point each way, Jorge Campillo at 50-1. And I'll go a point each way, Robert McIntyre at 80s.
Yeah, I'm going a point each way, Thomas Dietrich at 66-1. Point each way, Bobby McIntyre at 80-1. And half a point each way on Lucas Herbert at 150-1. Don't forget about that hashtag Your Odds as well. It's the top one on the hashtag Your Odds page. You can find that at williamhill.com and on the app. We're going Nicholas Coulthard for a top 20 and Andy Sullivan for a top 10, and that pays 33-1.
Final contribution, because you've just mentioned Andy Sullivan. So he got me a little bit of money back last week.
He did.
So with some of that, I'm going to just put a cheeky point on McIlroy winning this week and next.
Are you?
At 50-1.
Very
I just love that idea that he wins this week and I've got holding a 50-1 ticket.
Yeah. Okay, you can check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app for the John Deere Classic and, of course, the Scottish Open as well. Thank you for tuning into the podcast. Do drop us a line on Twitter if you wish to do so, and good luck with your golf bets this week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.